So, all right. You'll have to ask her about that, because that's pretty great. I can't believe nobody has seen that. So, all right. So I promise that this will be the last time I'm gonna talk about this again. I did not get to everything I wanted to get to last week, and so I'm gonna continue the conversation that we started last week. I'm recording it. So I wanted to pick up, because I just felt like at the end it got really rushed and I didn't really get to say everything that I thought needed to be said, or have a better conversation with Ellie, who I've asked if she would mind answering a couple questions later. So if you missed out on last week, we talked about addiction and how addiction is really another word for idolatry. All addiction is the worship of something other than God, right? That takes control and owns our lives and is a compulsive sort of thing that we, in a lot of ways, aren't consciously thinking about doing. And usually in terms of addiction, we think about chemical substance abuse, those sorts of things, or you tend to think about pornography or various things like that. But addiction, really broadly speaking, is just anything that you have compulsive impulses towards, right? Like you can't not be doing something. And you spend a lot of time doing it. And when you're not doing it, it creates anxiety in you, or you feel like you can't go without it, right? And it builds up these dopamine responses in you. So when you finally do engage this activity, it makes you feel better, or it gives you some relief. And I spent a lot of time talking about even some biblical warrants for idolatry, right? And what this is. And we talked about Romans, and actually Nathan mentioned it in the sermons, right? Roman chapter 1, where it talks about they exchanged the truth about God for a lie. They worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator. That at the heart of God's wrath, that is what sin is all about, is about exchanging the truth of God for a lie and worshiping things rather than the Creator. And so then the question is, what exactly is worship? Well, worship is adoration towards any object or thing, right? Simply put, where you spend a lot of time with something or a lot of time devoting attention to something. That is worship. We tend to think of it in the context of a religious setting, but really worship is a word that can be described to the amount of time that you give any person or any object. And so what we want to ask or think about is things that we do that are equal or more important than God, right? So anything that we put on the same level of God, where we are spending more time engaging in this behavior or this activity, and then in not doing it makes us feel bad, or we feel anxious because of it, that is idolatry. That is an addiction. And then I didn't mention this passage last week, but in Proverbs 21:31, there's an interesting passage, and I want to read it to you. And if you were here this summer and were part of our summer class, you'll remember me talking about this. And for the rest of you, this will be a little bit of a catch-up. Proverbs 21:31 simply says this: the horse is made ready for the day of battle, but victory belongs to the Lord. That seems a little bizarre, right? Talking about addiction, talking about idolatry, all this stuff. And then I read to you this verse in Proverbs about the horse is made ready for battle, but the victory belongs to the Lord. So what is this proverb about? Well, there are several occasions in Isaiah and several Psalms that are dedicated to this that reference a passage in Deuteronomy where God tells the people, you will not purchase horses for battle. He forbids the Israelite army to purchase horses, to go into Egypt, to buy horses to use in battle. And in the Psalms, you have, you know, he who relies on the horses, da 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 da, but those, you know, we should rely on God. And so what's the point of all of this? The horse, in military terms, was a technological achievement. The use of a horse and chariots and all of this other stuff was considered a technological advantage over armies because most people didn't have them. And so what he is referencing is a reliance on something to achieve success, to achieve your goal, to achieve victory, a reliance on something as opposed to God. God wanted all of the attention himself, right? He wanted people to rely upon him. And so when you get to this proverb, the horse is made ready for battle, but it's God who actually has the victory, is this reminder of we are not to rely on anything for our happiness, for our joy, for our success, for our time, to fill ourselves up, rather or besides God. So what does that have to do with what we're talking about? When we talk about idolatry or addiction, it is something that we're doing that is filling something up that we're relying on rather than relying on God, or rather than giving whatever time that we are spending to this thing, instead giving it to a healthy use of our time, or maybe giving it over to God. So a good rule of thumb is, whatever it is that you may be doing, do you spend the same amount of time in attention to God or in attention to your relationship with God? Okay, so again, I say all of that before getting to what I'm talking about, right? Which is, what? What did we talk about last week? Phones. Phones. And I said, I want to spend a lot of time really setting up this concept because I know once I tell you what I'm talking about, I'm going to lose some people. And I would suggest to you that the very fact that I'm worried about that, or that it's probably true, suggests that maybe it's a bigger issue than we want to admit. Because it's uncomfortable to think about the relationship I have created with my phone. Now, after last week, I got this text and I thought it was really funny. Somebody sent this to me and said, this is James, right? Yeah. You sent this to me and you said, I'm never not going to be able to notice this now. And then you had crying face. How many of you after class noticed this sort of behavior a whole lot more? Anybody kind of like, man, this really is everywhere. Years ago, I used as a what made me laugh a picture of the real Walking Dead. Have you ever, anybody ever seen the zombie show, The Walking Dead? Or there was like this, like the pre-show that leads into that. Anyway, this is a picture of actual Walking Dead. Anybody ever seen that before? How many of you walk across campus and you notice this phenomenon all the time? I'm going to show you something a little later that kind of cracks me up about this. So what I want to do today is I wanted to first remind you of kind of where we were, and a lot of you maybe are new to the conversation. But I began talking about the ramifications of this, okay? So there is a line in which a activity becomes an addiction. And all I'm going to say is this. I fully realize that phones can be good, right? Technology can be good. There's a lot of good use with which they can be put. However, I don't need to convince you of that, so I'm not going to spend any time talking about it, right? Because it's like, he had a 45-minute class, and I heard him tell me that phones were awesome. You know, I'm like, no. So I get that you are already there. So what I want to try to talk about is the point at which, you know, the activity, the thing that you are just using it for the good uses that it can be put, to where it crosses over into negatively affecting you, your relationships with other people, that sort of stuff. And so we started there, and I want to come back and talk a little bit more about that. And then hopefully I want to stop with about 10 minutes left to really talk about how you can kind of tell maybe that this is where you are and how to detox, how to get out of that. And then I want to spend a little time talking with Ellie, who last week I told you a little bit about her story, and then she came up and it was really rushed. I apologize to you because I wanted you to share your story a little bit more about that. But she's given up her smartphone and just uses a flip phone all the time now. And we had a long conversation where she talked a lot about just the benefits of that. And so I want to talk a little bit more about that. I want to talk about expectations for just a minute and the shift that has taken place, I think, in us because of these things that we carry around with us all the time, right? So today's equivalent of, did you ever hear any like the old stories like, yeah, when I was your age, I used to walk 10 miles uphill in the snow both ways, barefooted, you know, all of that sort of thing. The modern equivalent of that is, hey, I used to have to wait for dial-up. Anybody, does any of you have any, besides our older adults, have experience with dial-up Few of you do, so you know it's torturous, right? For those of you, does everybody know what dial-up is? So used to, when you wanted to connect to the internet, you turned your computer on, you went and got lunch, and you waited until it finished booting up, right? That was a thing that they did. They booted up. And then you used your phone line to dial into an internet service, and it went like bleep, 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 something along those lines. And during this process, you went and you like took a nap, and then you made some phone calls on a landline, and then you came back. Oh, you couldn't use your landline. That's right. You couldn't use a landline. So you had to go read or something, right? So it took minutes. Minutes, sometimes like 30 minutes or more to make a connection. And then you would go and you would like go to check your email, right? And you would type in whatever email browser that you use. There weren't very many, like Lycos and Excite. I don't know, y'all don't remember those. And yeah. And then you would go to check, you'd type in the web address, and then you had to wait, right? Because it took a lot of time for it to load. And then it still wasn't there yet. So, you know, right? So there is an expectation that we had then. But let me tell you what, like, you were all like, this story is boring, right? So, but at the time, that was brand new and it was exciting. And it didn't matter that it took that much time because you had the world at your fingertips. And this was like, how is this even possible that I can log on to this thing called the internet and find all this information? It was amazing. And so it didn't matter that it took at least an hour to check an email. That is not really much of an exaggeration, is it? For those of you who remember. Now, when we're driving down the highway at 85 miles an hour, we get mad when Parks and Rec won't stream on Netflix properly, right? It's not in HD, but it's a little pixelated. That is insane. Our expectations have hugely shifted. They have, and expectations have a huge impact on our lives, right? When an expectation that we have in our life is not met, what does it do to you? It's frustrating. What else? When you have an expectation and that expectation doesn't get met, it's frustrating. What else? What else happens to you?
You have to deal with disappointments.
Yeah, you have to deal.
Some of us don't do that well.
Yeah, some don't deal with disappointment, but you've got to deal with that frustration, disappointment. What else? You might get mad when an expectation that you have, it isn't met. It frustrates you and it makes you mad and it gets you angry and it creates impatience within you. How many of you who have like needed to do anything on the other side of I-20? You know, it's just like there's just this frustration and this anger that builds up because the traffic is awful. So you could almost argue that all disappointment is the result of an unmet expectation that you have. So expectations, what has this done, this technology that we have, done to our expectations? Well, number one, it's changed our perception of time. Right? Like what I was just saying to you. It used to be like, that was exciting and I didn't mind that it took that long. Now, we have this expectation that whatever we want should be instantaneous, immediately available at all times to us, right? That need for speed. You know, if you go and you look at the very first iPhone that ever came out, it was just like this little brick. And it was cool, but it still took a lot of time to do anything, right? Now, our phones are so fast and they're so instantaneous that any delay in the information that we want to come our way, it frustrates us. And our patience and our endurance and our ability to have perseverance and our expectation of what acceptable or not has completely changed. And so if you're ever in a conversation and the person that you're talking with just has a little bit slower way of presenting themselves. You ever find yourself like, get to the point, you know, you're just like, oh, you know, I mean, you don't realize it, but we are being trained that everything has to happen as fast as we need it to or as fast as we want it to. Another expectation we have, right, is that this is almost a right. That speed or that accessibility is almost a right that is due to us. One of the craziest things, I don't hear it as much from you guys as I used to when I worked with youth groups or talking with younger students, who that phone of theirs, it is their right to have it. And their parents cannot know their passcodes, and their parents cannot have take a look at it and see what's on it. And I was having a conversation with someone once, and I just said, do you pay for it? Like, well, no, but I'm like, then it's not yours, is it? And your parents have every right to do whatever they want to their device that they are letting you borrow. But it's changed, hasn't it? That's become like our thing. A preacher friend of mine used to say, a luxury once tried becomes a necessity. And I think he's true in that statement. How many of you would drive a vehicle that didn't even have an air conditioning unit installed in it? Vicente would. Good job, buddy.
Open the window.
You had to, yeah. I drove a truck. My first truck had a 240 air conditioner, two windows down at 40 miles an hour, because that's the top speed that it could manage, right? But once we try something, it becomes the new norm, and it becomes the way things have to be. Now, that's not always bad, but I want you to think about the amount of control that the phone gives you in your life and the expectations that it shifts in your life. They give us this false sense of not only control of ourself, that we have our life together because it's all here and everything that I need is all right there, but also I think it gives us a false sense of control of others, and it sets up an unfair expectation. So here's an example. You can pick up your phone, and in a lot of ways, if you have friends who don't live in the United States, you could text someone halfway across the world, right? And how fast does that communication happen? Instantaneously, right? So we know that I can pick up my phone and text, and it's quick, and it's instantaneous. As soon as a thought comes into my head, I can pick up my phone, and I can send that message, or I can send that question, or I can send whatever that thing is out. And because it was so easy for me, I now have the expectation that it's going to be quick and easy for you to also return that message. Am I right? And the longer it takes you to respond to my message, the more what happens? What, Riley?
Aggravated
you get, right? Because you expect that that person, on the off chance that you happen to have a question for them or a comment for them or a funny gift that you want to send them, right, that they will immediately respond to you. And you know what's made it absolutely worse?
The red response.
Yes! Red at, I use military time, so that's how I see it. That makes it worse. You know what I love to do sometimes to people? I love to let them see this. For like a day. That
you
thing
just
that
put
should.
The space.
Yeah, I start to like, I'll just type like, hey, and then I'll just leave it and I won't send anything for a really long time. And then I've had people like, why do you never just send a message? And I was like, yeah, I know. But it's like, we have this expectation of others that they will constantly be as connected as I do. So the longer it takes for us to respond, the more irritated that a person might get. And there's this assumption that I have instant access to your phone, and in my head it means that I have instant access to you. That is a very self-centered approach, right? That is an approach that has you at the center of the universe, that says at any time that I might be needing something or wanting something, it should happen that way. Because everything else about our phones is that way. No longer do we have to worry who wrote that song, right? Our best friend Google can tell us who wrote that song. Can't just be, I guess it matters. there is no, I don't guess it matters. There is immediate, like, we've got to have this information. It is my expectation. And because that expectation that you don't respond isn't met, we do become frustrated or aggravated. I had something happen that just blew me away. I was in my Cornerstone class. Is anybody in here in my class? I don't think so. You were in my Cornerstone class. But in my Cornerstone class this year, we're sitting there, and we're taking a quiz, and one of my students raises her hand. I'm like, yeah? She's like, my friend just texted me and said she locked her key out of her dorm room. I need to leave and go let her in. I was like, you're in class. Like, in the middle of a quiz. She's like, yeah, but she needs me to do it. I'm like, no. And thankfully, I didn't have this answer. I was too like, I can't believe this is happening right now. But my peer leader said, you should call your, you know, there's someone always at your dorm and they can come and let you in. But her friend was, she told me later, her friend was mad at her because she didn't get up and leave her class to come do whatever it was she needed. And it's like, you're in class, you're expected to be here in the middle of a quiz, but there's this expectation that that doesn't matter, right? That I have instant access. Kelly and then Kendall.
Okay, I teach school, I teach eighth grade, and I have a student who is in dire need of glasses. She's been having some trouble at school. Three of us, including myself, have called home because she's not doing what she's supposed to be doing in class. And so she misses school for 2 days and comes back with a brand new phone, $800 phone, but she needs glasses. And I said to her, so you and your mom bought a phone, but you didn't choose glasses? I'm not giving up that phone. Are you serious?
So a phone versus like human sight. You know, I mean, I don't really.
And that was her reward. She got in trouble. Three teachers called her mom to talk about her behavior in class, and her reward was,
I got a new phone. Because that'll help, right? That'll make your focus more. Kendall, do you have a
son? So, cell phones aren't allowed in our classroom, and there's penalties for getting them taken up. So, and they get very frustrated when you take up their phone. I even had a kid who was, so when you're talking about like invading their privacy or whatever, like they take their SIM card out because they think that, like, I could care less what you have on your phone or what your, I really don't want to know what's on your phone. But they'll take their SIM card out. But one of the biggest problems we have is that, like you were talking about in the middle of the quiz, most of the time our kids are being texted by their parents, and then their parent will get mad when their phone was taken up and they have to pay the penalty to get the phone. But it was the parent that got them in trouble.
It's like, come on! So there is a connectivity. Like, look, when I graduated college, I drove to Virginia, 23 hours away from home. I didn't own a cell phone, and it wasn't a big deal. But I'm just as bad, right? I will leave my house, and I will get to the end of the block, and I realize I didn't have my phone, and I'll turn around and go get it. Or if I get to the office and realize I don't have it, I'll turn around and go get it, even if I've got something important going on, right? So, I mean, this is kind of a big deal. I want to show you a funny video that I found that I think also speaks to another element of, like, the expectations that we have about phones that brings in a different aspect.
Sarah thought she met the perfect man.
Was the perfect nightmare.
Yeah, no, not many.
Social media.
Oh, something happening.
Oh, not
that
bad.
I'm not even
anywhere.
Yeah, no, not many. Social media.
I'm not even on Facebook. Is Snapchat, WhatsApp, Facebook? He's not on anything? What? Is he okay?
They don't know what he did last summer, because it's not on Facebook.
He is untraceable. He's completely off the grid. He's ghost, if you will. He's not on Insta, LinkedIn, or Pinterest. And if you think he's on SnapMap, yeah, you're crazy.
I mean, the man has no digital footprint. He's never even had a MySpace.
Think about it. You can't tag him.
See you next week.
So if someone's not on social media, isn't it like a weird, like, who's this guy, right? Has anybody ever known anyone that wasn't on social media? What was your first thought? Why? Why not? Yeah, so maybe someone says, hey, that's great. Yeah, good job. Way to do that. So the bell just rung, and I'm used to teaching like an hour and a half classes, so it's really unfair. So I may inflict this upon you another week, because I really want to spend time talking about what to think about or how to maybe detox and to see, like, is this, you know, it's not a problem. But there are some things that you can do and try, like, no, well, maybe it actually is. So in the time we have left, I want to talk about a couple more things. And then next week, I want to spend some time talking about that aspect. There's another element that I think is important to consider, which is the tyranny of the urgent. What do I mean by that? Like these beeps and these dings and these things that demand our constant attention. There is this urgency we feel that those things have to be attended to. But sometimes we neglect important matters. And I thought this was kind of a funny video to illustrate that. Rollerblading with her phone. Doing something dumb. So here's the thing, like, those are kind of silly examples, but I made the mistake of clicking on another video that was live, like, security and traffic cam footage of two people walking across an intersection and stopping in the middle to check out something they see on their phone and getting run over. And I'm talking like there were 5 minutes worth of just one right after another of people across all countries getting hit because they're just walking out into traffic, just not paying attention, right? So this is absolutely crazy. So here's what I think. I think there is a little bit of disconnect angst that we have when it comes to setting these things aside, when it comes to laying them down. There is a group called the Solutions Research Group, and they identified in a study 4 ways that people express disconnect anxiety, the reason why you get stuff like this happen, that we can't put these things down. And the first one is safety. There is a perceived false sense of security or safety with our phones. How many of you feel like that's maybe the case? That there is a false sense of security that if I have my phone, everything will be okay. The thing is, it won't. I mean, it's not going to protect you from anything. It's not going to help you in situations that are actually dire, that actually matter. It may give you connection, it may give you some other things, but it's not actually protecting you from anything. Number two is work. Those of us who are in the careers and things like that, and maybe even like in classes and stuff, there is a sense or a fear of being out of the flow of our work and the information that entails, that if we take a break, we might miss something that's important to our jobs. The third is social, and this is where I think it hits most of us, that people are anxious or fearful of missing out on social events or not being at something that their friends were, or having access to insider information. Now, here's something I thought was pretty terrifying. In the U.S., when the percentage of Americans and their ownership of cell phones surpassed 50%, so when 50% or more of Americans had cell phones in the U.S., the teen homicide rate or teen suicide rate skyrocketed. A psychologist that I was reading an article of, who has done generational studies their entire career, said they've never seen anything like it. That once that passed the 50% mark, teen homicides and teen pregnancy rates went down, but suicide rates are through the roof, and reports of anxiety and depression and those sorts of things. Because people are not going out, they are staying in and living their life on their phone, but seeing that other people are doing exciting and fun things or at least that they are posting that they are. So there is this social fear that we have that we are missing out on something. And you guys know, and I know, you relentlessly document the things that you actually do, right? Sorry, do. But there's a generation that relentlessly document everything. And so for those who are maybe disconnected from that, but they're still seeing it happen, that creates this anxiety that I'm not being a part of something. I'm not included. I'm not accepted. It's also given a huge rise to cyberbullying. The fourth is navigation. Not just tell me how to get where I need to go, but tell me where I need to be and when I need to be there and who I need to be connected to and all of my information and all of your information all in one spot. So there is a lot more to this, and I really hope that you'll come back next week to talk a little bit more about this, but spend some more time really thinking about what should we be doing instead? Because when you think about maybe laying that down for at least a little bit, it's not only about just reducing it, but replacing it with something more valuable or more helpful. I had a friend once who told me they realized they had a problem when they started noticing that all of their children's pictures of their family had a phone in one of the parents' or both of the parents' hands. Think about that. If you were to ask your friends, like, how much time do I spend looking you in the eyes, talking to you, and how much time do I spend just on my phone? This is not an issue. I said it that way. This is not a problem. So let's talk some more about it next week and about how to actually think about setting this aside and the benefits that can come from that. Gives Ellie even more time to think about those questions that I asked her. So if you've missed last week, and you might miss next week, I've started recording class, and Tucker's helping set up a podcast on iTunes, so we're going to start recording these and putting them out there. So if you find yourself that you've missed any and you want, I know it's kind of weird to like use technology to talk about how technology can be harmful, but this is one of the ways in which it's useful. All right, y'all have a great week. Hopefully you'll be a part of a life group tonight, and we'll see you.